Will the EU and the UK announce a vaccine sharing deal in what has been an increasingly bitter row over AstraZeneca supplies, or are export bans on the way? And will the next 3 to 6 months see finally the long-awaited ramping up of the EU's vaccine rollout? All questions to be addressed at today's virtual Council of EU Leaders. And for more, we're joined by former EU Ambassador to Washington, David O'Sullivan. Good morning to you, David.
Good morning, Anya.
What do you make of this joint statement between the EU and the UK last night, talking about a win-win situation for both? Have we gone from bitter row to caring is sharing?
I would hope so. I mean, I think it is a very encouraging statement, and it contains a very telling line saying, given our interdependencies, which I think does underline the extent to which we are ultimately all in this pandemic together, it's great that the UK have had such a successful vaccine rollout, but equally, it's in their interest that, that the rest of the EU is able to do the same in coming weeks. The issue, of course, of the fact that vaccines have not been exported from the UK to the EU, whereas the UK has benefited from 10 million vaccines exported from the EU, is certainly a factor in this. And I think, to be very frank, the fact that the EU Commission has talked about some tougher measures potentially being taken probably has contributed to what we hope now will be the beginning of a productive and mutually beneficial dialogue about how we help each other in this. Bearing in mind, Anya, that it's not just the EU and the developed world. We also have issues for the developing world. And we've just seen India talking about restricting some exports because they have big concerns. So this is truly a global pandemic, and we all need to work together. That's the only way we're going to find a way out of this.
And I'd be interested in your take then on the fact that Ursula von der Leyen, the Commission President, she had a phone call with Canadian Premier Trudeau yesterday evening, and Joe Biden is going to be calling into the virtual council this evening. Do you think vaccines are going to be on their agenda?
Well, I'm sure it will. I mean, as you know, the United States is not exporting any of its vaccines, and Canada is actually being supplied from Europe, not from its nearest neighbor, the United States. But this only further underlines, I think, the interconnected nature of the supply chains and how dependent we are all on cooperation to help us find a way through this.
Talk to us then about the internal politics within Europe about this, because you know, we know that Taoiseach is not in favour of export bans because he's pointing out supply lines are very complicated and go in all kinds of directions. There is a division amongst member states over this, and there's also a squabble over the divvy up of the vaccines that are and will be available.
Well, yes. I mean, I think the Taoiseach was very wise earlier in the week to highlight the interconnectedness of supply chains. But he did also point out that there were issues with the UK and AstraZeneca, and that the UK had to contribute to greater reciprocity. And I think that is what we are now seeing. I don't think, Anya, to be very frank, I don't think anyone really wants to see export bans introduced. But I think sometimes people accuse the EU of being a little naive. I think this was the EU flexing its muscles with a little realpolitik to say, well, if people are not prepared to come to the table in an amicable way, we do have other options, even if they're not our preferred option. And of course, yes, there is a discussion about how to share out some of the other vaccines. But the good news is, as Tony just said in his report, that we are expecting a very, very significant increase of vaccines in the second quarter. And frankly, by June or July, probably the EU, the US and the UK will all be pretty much in the same place in terms of percentage of people vaccinated. So, you know, I think there is good news coming and some light at the end of the tunnel in what is undoubtedly a very, very difficult situation for everyone, particularly the people who are suffering under the lockdown and the constraints.
And this has come about, isn't it, or this hopefully will come about because the Commission has been paying a lot of attention to supply lines and to bringing together as Joe Biden's been doing in the United States, different pharma companies to make the vaccines we know do work.
Exactly. And they've also been discussing how to use other companies to help produce these vaccines and making money available up front to cover the investment costs. So increasing the overall capacity so that not only will Europe be able to supply itself, but it will also be able to supply the rest of the world, because we do need to not lose sight of the needs of the developing countries in this situation as well.
Final thought for you on the kind of coverage we've seen, very polarised coverage, if you look at the difference between European media and UK media in the way this whole row over vaccine supplies has been covered. How dangerous this mix of jingoism, vaccine nationalism and Brexit?
Yeah, I mean, I think there was an element of vaccine jingoism in the UK media and on the part of some politicians. I hope that we can put that behind us because it is dangerous and it is unhelpful. The vaccine success in the UK is really very little to do with Brexit and everything to do with the fact that they started sooner and frankly, the very great efficiency of the NHS, and full credit to them, and they deserve credit for what they've been able to do. I think we need to learn some lessons, the rest of us in Europe, because it's not just the supply, it's also the logistical rollout of the vaccines, which is still posing problems in member states. But hopefully, I thought the statement last night between the UK and the EU was actually the most positive statement that we've seen since the whole Brexit debate began. So maybe this recognition of mutual interdependence will help tone down the rhetoric and help us actually to try and work together.
David O'Sullivan, former EU ambassador to Washington, thank you for speaking to us from Brussels this morning. It's 19 minutes past 8.